Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Easy ISD Police to Triforce Shield Grant. Along with a number of reports, the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will consider a request for approval to submit a grant to the Office of the Governor for Bullet Restraint Shields for Frontline District Officers. The workshop meeting is scheduled for 6 p.m. today, September 13th, in the first floor boardroom of the ECISD Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. In June 2022, Governor Greg Abbott ratified a budget execution order proposed by the Legislative Budget Board to equip peace officers with bullet restraint shields. The opportunity to apply for this grant under the Governor's office will enable ECISD to purchase equipment, shields, critical to school security, which the police department cannot currently afford, supplemental agenda material said. The purpose of the grant is to purchase 27 bullet-resistant shields, one for every ECISD frontline officer, at a cost of $6,373.70 each, for a total of $172,089.90, the agenda material said. In other business, the board will hear a presentation updating the percentage of students considered college, career, and military ready, hear campus improvement plans. The discussion will be led by Chief of Schools Keely Boyer or Executive Director of Leadership Aaron Bueno. The process for campus improvement plan development will be shared, and principals will share goals and strategies within their schools' CIPs. Each campus, regardless of rating, is required to build a campus improvement plan annually, the agenda material said. This plan serves as the blueprint for how each school will uniquely address the campus-specific needs identified in their comprehensive needs assessment. Betsabe Salcido, Executive Director of Bilingual ESL Services from Curriculum and Instruction, will present a program overview. She will introduce the bilingual ESL team, define the program implementation models, report the number of students being served, and share data. Discussion of revisions to local board policies for the District of Innovation Renewal Plan. City considers increasing water, sewer, and solid waste rates. The Odessa City Council is expected to vote Tuesday night on the FY22-23 budget, and they'll also consider increasing the city's water, sewer, and solid waste rates. City staff has recommended a 6% increase in water, sewer rates and a 3.5% increase in solid waste rates. Cindy Muncy, Assistant City Manager of Administrative Services, told the council last week the increased water rate change will help cover the rising cost of equipment, debt service, repairs, and replacement. The city normally increases the rate by 2.5%, but the additional 3.5% will pay half of the city's new debt service payment for the upgrades in the water treatment plant. A resident who uses 5,000 gallons of water will see their monthly bill increase by $2.18, Muncy said. A customer who uses 5,000 gallons of water will see a $1.32 increase in their monthly sewer bill, and that money will help cover the cost of sewer line replacements, she said. Over the last couple of years, the city has increased solid waste rates by 2.5%, but this year the staff is proposing a 3.5% increase because fuel and tipping fees are increased so much. A single-family residence will experience a monthly increase of 75 cents, she said. The council will also discuss declaring the unopposed candidates for District 3 and District 4 as newly elected officials. Council members Mary Willis, Deetra White, and Tom Sprawls are not running for re-election in November. Gilbert Vasquez, who spent more than 30 years as an administrator within the Ector County Independent School District, is the only candidate seeking to replace White in District 3, and Greg Connell was the only candidate who sought to replace Sprawls in District 4. Chris Haney and Shay Lane will be running against each other for the District 5 position. Jury will decide fate of accused racer. An Ector County jury this week will decide the fate of an Odessa man who pleaded guilty to causing four deaths in a racing incident nearly 4 years ago. Albertico Valenzuela, who turns 22 in November, pleaded guilty to four counts of racing on a highway Monday in the 161st Ector County District Court. The jury must decide if it wants to place Valenzuela on probation or send him to prison for somewhere between 2 to 20 years. Whatever sentences he receives, they'll run concurrently or at the same time. Jurors will begin hearing evidence Tuesday morning. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, on October 1, 2018, El Paso resident Christian Flores and Valenzuela were racing their Dodge Challengers side by side down West 16th when Flores crashed into Valenzuela's car, sending it into a Chevrolet Impala. Flores was killed along with Araceli Gabaldon, 47, and two of Gabaldon's children, Cassandra de la Garza, 20, and Elias de la Garza. Gabaldon's 17-year-old son suffered life-threatening injuries. According to court records, authorities charged Valenzuela with two misdemeanors nearly 2 years after the crash when he allegedly hit a fence in the 6200 block of Long Avenue while intoxicated and didn't notify the owner or leave his contact information. He is awaiting trial in connection with that incident, and prosecutors have indicated they intend to tell jurors about it. MCH Family Health Clinic to host party in the parking lot. The MCH Family Health Clinic, located at 6030 West University Boulevard, will be hosting their party in the parking lot from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. today, September 13th. The party will include free blood pressure checks and glucose screenings, which are offered for free every Tuesday at the West University location. No appointments are necessary. In addition to the free blood pressure checks and glucose screenings, there will be music, food trucks, and giveaways. The MCH Family Health Clinic offers financial help, including a sliding scale family assistance plan, prescription assistance plan, and discounted copays to help patients get the care they need. Deputy registrars to be sworn in. UTPB honor students are sworn in as deputy voter registrars at 8 a.m. today, September 13th, at the Mesa Fountain outside the courtyard. By completing the deputy voter registration training, the students will be entrusted with the responsibility of officially registering voters in the state of Texas. About 40 students sworn in tomorrow by a representative from the Ector County Elections Office. Death notices for Tuesday, September 13th. Doug Shirock, 80, of Odessa, died Saturday, September 10th in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled at 10 a.m. September 14th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Pastor Landon Coleman is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Garrett Casey, 22, of Midland, died Friday, September 2nd in Midland. Memorial service is scheduled at 4:30 p.m. September 16th at the branch at MPW in Midland. Service will be directly followed by a reception at the Ranchland Hills Golf Club, 1600 East Wadley Avenue, Midland. Arrangements are by Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Tommy Jack Clifton Sr., 83, of Robert Lee, died Sunday, September 11th in Midland. Graveside service is scheduled at 1 p.m. September 14th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. David C. Wiggum, 72, of Midland, died Saturday, September 10th in Midland. Celebration of life is scheduled at 2 p.m. September 19th at First Baptist Church Sanctuary in Midland. Arrangements are by Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland.
Hello, this is Michael reading a few articles. First from the Midland Reporter-Telegram. Opinion page from the Midland Paper, Tuesday, September 13th, 2022. Extra Opinion. 9/11 type unity isn't coming back, by Stuart Doreen, editor. What does 9/11 mean to me? For one thing, it was the last time that a vast majority of Americans came together. We had an enemy to rally against. Republicans, Democrats, Independents, rural and urban Americans, men and women. It was a time that social media couldn't stand in the way of unity. It was a time that not even cable news or the opinion writers at newspapers or on the internet could fracture a country. It was a better time. We know what happened after 9/11. The endless wars that followed. The rise of partisan cable news where guaranteed and loyal audience outweighed providing unbiased information. And lastly, the introduction and then domination of social media. We now know that, really, there will never be any return to a united America. That ship sailed a long time ago. It doesn't matter the president or the party in power. This November's elections show off the division that are having an impact. In Texas, we won't vote for a candidate to bring us all together. Our choices are for a person who will advance an ideology. Think Governor Greg Abbott or Beto O'Rourke represents the average Texan? Both are abandoning Texas in favor of their respective political wings. No talk about education funding. No talk about mental health. No help with growing the workforce to help fill holes in jobs across the board around the state. As one goes down the ballot, there's not much here to excite an average Texan. November 2022 is about whether one supports Republicans and the Dan Patrick plan to clean our schools of inappropriate books and convince Texans there is a plague of gender reassignment procedures impacting our children. Inappropriate books and gender dysphoria are not insignificant issues, but not the issues dominating the lives of average Texans. Texas has issues when it comes to crime and the border. Our state has issues with workforce and dealing with the infrastructure of a growing population. Texas's most powerful politician should give the average Texans more than what Patrick is offering. And if you think the other side offers something representative of the blue dogs of the past, well, that's not the case. O'Rourke's social media on Sunday night led with assault rifles and abortion. We need Texas's leaders from the state house to the governor's mansion to offer their takes on what we should expect with the mother of all budget surpluses. Don't tell us what you don't like. Describe your vision. Tell us you believe in a state where crime goes down, education and health care spending are up, energy is a game changer, the border is sealed, and that you will fight for all Texans, including those yet to be born. Then tell us how we get there together. At some point, we may need to compromise. We may need to think more about getting the job done and less about spiking the football and sticking it to the other political party. And yes, we might need to tell Biden, Pelosi, Schumer, McConnell, and McCarthy to take their ineffectiveness and swampy partisanship elsewhere and stay far away from the Lone Star State. I don't think we will ever get to a United States like after 9/11, but if we are, Texans are going to have to lead the way. from the Odessa American, Monday, September 12th. Is Medicare's seven-month initial enrollment period for Part A or Part B? By Tony King. Hello, Tony. I am new to your column. Extremely informative. I am turning 65 next March and am puzzled about Medicare's seven-month enrollment period. I've heard that this period is only for Medicare Part B, and that confuses me because I do not know how to enroll in Medicare's Part A. Can you enroll in Medicare Part A and B separately or together? I do not know how the seven-month window works. How soon can I enroll? I work part-time and not eligible for company benefits, so I want to enroll ASAP. Please explain what I should do. Thanks. Gary from Oakland, California. Gary, thanks for your comments about Tony Says, and do not feel alone in your confusion. America is confused on enrolling in Medicare the right way to keep from receiving dreaded Medicare penalties. The seven-month Medicare initial enrollment period is for those who wish to enroll in Medicare's Parts A and B together, not separately, when turning 65 and not covered by employer group health insurance. When one is covered by employer group health insurance, whether through an employer or a spouse's employer group health plan, then there is Medicare Part B penalty protection for opting not to enroll in Medicare Part B when turning 65. One that is employed full-time with employer group benefits or covered under a spouse's employer group health plan can enroll in Medicare Part A only during Medicare's seven-month initial enrollment period when turning 65. Caution about enrolling in Medicare Part A when you are an employee with a health savings account, HSA benefit. One must stop making HSA contributions the month prior to turning 65 if enrolling in Medicare Part A. Visit www.tonytonisays.com for more information on enrolling in Medicare the correct way. Medicare's initial enrollment period is a seven-month window that begins 3 months before the month one turns 65. The month turning 65 and 3 months after turning 65. If you are covered on Medicare Parts A and B by the end of your initial enrollment period, you can sleep stress-free from worry about Medicare penalties. Visit www.ssa.gov to create a My Social Security account to enroll in Medicare, because everything is processed online at www.ssa.gov/benefits/Medicare for your Medicare to begin the month you are turning 65 by enrolling 3 months before turning 65. If enrolling the month you turn 65, your Medicare will begin the month after. Enroll the 3 months after your birthday, and your Medicare effective date will be further delayed. Additionally, it is important to know if you are going to take your Social Security check or not when turning 65. If you take your Social Security check, your Medicare will begin the month you turn 65. If you are not receiving a Social Security check, then it will be your responsibility to visit www.ssa.gov/benefits/Medicare and enroll in Medicare. By not enrolling at the right time, you put yourself at risk of a Medicare Part B and D penalty. When one enrolls in Medicare Parts A and B, then it is time to choose whether to go with original Medicare with a Medicare supplement and a standalone Medicare Part D for your prescriptions, or pick a Medicare Advantage plan, which includes a Medicare Part D prescription plan. If delaying enrolling in Medicare Part B, you can claim a special enrollment period whenever you or your spouse lose employer group health coverage for any reason: retirement, layoff, reduction of hours to part-time, etc. This information on personalizing your Medicare enrollment and plan options can be found in the Medicare Survival Guide Advanced, available at www.tonysays.com. For a Medicare checkup, call the Tony Says Medicare call center at 832-519-8664 or email info@TonySays.com regarding your Medicare plans and options. Midland Reporter Telegram Business and Oil page, Tuesday, September 13th. Oil prices rise with dollars descent, by Yong Chang Chen and Alex Longley, Bloomberg. Oil extended gains after recovering from a weak start as declines in the U.S. dollar offset concerns that global demand is under pressure. The U.S. oil benchmark rose more than 2% to trade near $89 a barrel after earlier sinking to $85 a barrel. Risk sentiment generally firmed across markets on Monday, with equity markets climbing in Europe and the American currency weakening sharply as traders bet inflation is near a peak. A weaker greenback tends to benefit assets sold in the currency. China's efforts to suppress COVID-19 by curbing activity has weighed down on oil prices, with their potential of slowing down global demand. Nonetheless, some analysts see a host of bullish factors that could elevate prices heading into the end of the year. The conclusion of the Biden administration's U.S. strategic oil releases, harsher European sanctions that start on December 5th, and gas-to-oil switching would support oil prices. Rebecca Babin, a senior energy trader at CIBC Private Wealth Management, said during a Bloomberg MLIV event. Looking out for the rest of 2022, we see prices moving higher with WTI in the $95 to $105 range and Brent $100 to $110, she said. Crude has sunk by almost a third since June, shedding all the gains since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The reversal has come as central banks, including the Federal Reserve, tighten policy to quell inflation. Still, back-to-back declines in the dollar have helped oil recover from its lows in recent days, while a spate of Chinese crude purchases has spurred some optimism that the real-world market for barrels may have bottomed. Chinese authorities have intensified lockdowns and restrictions lately as a key Communist Party meeting looms. Reflecting the challenges, UBS Group trimmed its December Brent crude forecast by $15 a barrel. An outbreak at one of China's top media schools in Beijing should be stamped out in the shortest period of time, local government officials said Sunday. In the U.S., late Friday, the Treasury issued rough compliance guidelines for the proposed cap on Russian oil, focusing on the documentation needed by the private sector to adhere to the program, which is meant to kick in from December as Europe tightens sanctions on flows. Deputy Treasury Secretary Wally Adeyemo said that Moscow would have no choice but to participate. Iranian nuclear talks were also in focus as the UK, France, and Germany said at the weekend that they have serious doubts about Tehran's commitment to a new agreement. Should a pact be agreed, it could pave the way to greatly increase flows of Iranian crude to the global market.
Coffee versus caffeine pill health benefits. Dear Dr. Roach, I took one sip of coffee in college and that was the last time. However, there are times when I need a boost. So I'll take a 50 milligram caffeine pill, also known as No Doze. I've read numerous reports about the health benefits of coffee and tea. I was wondering if those benefits apply to the pill version, or if it's about the combo of ingredients in coffee and tea that provide benefits. JW. Answer. Sorry, but it's the other compounds in coffee and tea, not the caffeine, that appear to be responsible for the health benefits, recently confirmed in another trial. We know this because decaffeinated versions of coffee and tea seem to have the same benefits.
Hi, this is Denisa, reading the Midland Reporter Telegram, Dear Abby column for Tuesday, September 13th, 2022. Teen fears siblings bullying about her sexual orientation. Dear Abby, I am a teenage girl who has recently discovered I am bisexual. I told a few close friends, and I'm happy to say they have accepted me. Nothing has changed. I have not told any of my family yet. I know my parents will support me, but the problem is two of my four siblings. They constantly tease and taunt me, call me names, and pick on me. I have been raised to stand up to bullies, and I am mostly confident with myself. I have brought up their bullying to my parents a couple of times, but after discipline from my parents, they keep doing it. They are clearly homophobic, and I know they will tease and pick on me even more if I come out to them. I want to tell my parents, but I'm afraid it will inevitably lead to my siblings knowing. I don't think if my younger siblings knew they would care, but they might be confused or weirded out since the concept is foreign to them. Should I try to convince my parents not to say anything to my siblings until later? I don't want to hide, but I don't want to be pushed to depression, low self-esteem, or worse if my vocal homophobic siblings know and chastise me about my sexual orientation. New LGBTQ plus member. Dear member, your siblings are not necessarily homophobic. They may just get a kick out of making their younger sister uncomfortable, and whatever punishment they receive is not sufficient to curb the problem. Whether your parents divulge it, your sexual orientation will become apparent sooner or later, so don't bother hiding. You have friends and parents who support you. Handling negative comments from your immature sibs will give you the confidence to handle others in the future. You may want to consider joining an LGBTQ-friendly youth group for additional support. Your parents can find ways to help you by contacting an organization called PFLAG, pflag.org. It's the first and largest organization for LGBTQ people, their parents, families, and allies. You are an intelligent teen who is in the process of discovering who you are, and for that, I applaud you. Dear Abby, over the last year and a half, I've been in a relationship with someone I have known for a lifetime. He's married, but working on getting a divorce. He has promised we will do things together once everything is settled. There have been several recent deaths in his family, including a grandchild who was killed by a drunk driver. Until a week ago, we talked daily. When he told me he needed some time to think and get everything straight, I offered to return the things of his that I have. He said not to and repeated that he just needed some time. His family has leaned on him for years. I'm sure he is overwhelmed. Should I wait and see what's next, or mend my heart and move on? Standing by in the East. Dear Standing By, as you are probably aware, I have printed many letters from women who have been strung along for longer than 2 years. Back off. Give him 6 months to get his head and his life straight and to get that divorce filed. If nothing has changed by then, you will have devoted only 2 years of your life to the affair, and you should move on.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.